Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? It's hump day, it's Wednesday, it's 5 days now to the Super Bowl. I don't know, I'm stoked.
4 or 5 days. I don't know, I'm still shrugging off the rust from the Pro Bowl.
It's 5 days. Rust? I didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, that happened on Sunday.
I genuinely have not seen a single thing. The only thing I have seen from the Pro Bowl is when, oh God, they introduced a new game.
What, the skills games?
One of the new skills games. That's the only thing I've seen.
You missed like the Kobe Bryant tribute, the game itself.
Yeah. I've not seen any of it.
Okay. There's some news relating to it in the news section that I can update you on.
News of this podcast?
Well, yesterday's podcast.
Okay. You can why don't you update me now?
Oh, yeah. The Drew Brees might not be coming back.
What?
Yeah.
Or is that because he got sub, like Russell Wilson let him play?
No. He came out and said he's not 100% sure if he's playing in 2020, but if he does, he'll play for the Saints.
Well, that's good news. Talking of being stoked for the Super Bowl, we've got a returning guest. It's not his first. Obviously, he's returning. It's not his second. It's his third time on board. 49ers fan. 49ers. I'm saying that terribly. 49ers.
And basically, if the 49ers win on Sunday, it'll be half of the amount of Super Bowls that they've won.
What?
If they win on Sunday, they win their sixth. So half of six is three.
Okay. So yeah, welcome back, Jacob.
I was trying to pick up because six is the leading amount of Super Bowls. Like their tie with New England and Pittsburgh. Oh. With six Super Bowls.
I did not know that.
A big deal. Jacob knew what I meant, right?
Yeah, but he's a 49ers fan.
Yeah, I got you, yeah.
Try to bring some culture to this show, and
to be fair, that's like the third time you've washed culture over my head in the last hour, Murph. So it's not new news. Yeah, we were talking about the second and third president of the United States earlier, and
you gonna drop knowledge?
I don't remember it.
Oh, okay,
I don't remember it. I just know that
your mom tried to teach you something, and you've not paid attention.
Yeah, I'm sorry, mom. Sorry, mom. Anyway, Jacob. Super 49ers fan, you've got a 49ers podcast now. You're back to talk 49ers as it is Super Bowl week. How are you doing? And obviously you're traveling out Thursday. You must be pretty excited, right?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, very excited. A bit nervous. I think the nerves will properly set in come the weekend, maybe when a touchdown in Miami. But right now, just raring to go.
I think I'd be, I know you've got to work half a day tomorrow, but I think I'd be picking up the phone in the morning, although my boss would know I'd be going to the Super Bowl because it's all I would have talked about, and therefore...
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
Yeah, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Don't listen to me. I don't know whether we mentioned it last time or how we even covered it, but how did you come to support the 49ers?
So when I started getting into football, I found some NFL merch, funnily enough, in the house. And that came from when I was younger. My dad used to work abroad and his head office was in San Francisco. And so when he would come back, he'd bring me back kind of 49ers themed gifts or San Francisco themed gifts. Some, you know, might be San Francisco Giants, some might be 49ers. And so I had some kind of random 49ers stuff. And when I kind of got into football, I thought, well, that's as good a reason I need to watch this game instead of any other on a Sunday when there's loads. And so I just watched a random 49ers game and enjoyed it, and they won. So I kind of stuck with it, really. And that's kind of been it, really, for the past 10 years.
Well, it gave you somewhere to start, didn't it? Rather than just have all this stuff and think, no, I'm going to bin that and pick someone else.
I very nearly became a Colts fan, actually. I did one of those, you know, there's like, do this quiz online and it'll tell you who to support. I did one of them and it told me to support the Colts. And so I nearly did that. But then I ended up going, no, do you know what? I'm going to stick with the Niners stuff because I've got it. And so, yeah, worked out.
That has given me a great idea for a podcast. That we film that in live on air and see what it comes out.
Yeah, see what you get.
Okay, we should do
that. Well, you need one because you like adopt all the teams. So even though you're a Broncos fan.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I need a team.
Yeah, but this will tell you like what to wear. Like each day you could answer the quiz slightly differently. It can tell you what gear you can wear, like your hats or T-shirts. You let a computer decide your life. That'd be cool.
Okay. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. So what's your favourite story about being a 49ers fan?
Oh, that's a good question. It's been some good ones. Obviously, so last, was it 2 years ago? It will have been now. Well, sort of my very first game as well I ever went to was a Niners game at Wembley. It was Niners-Jags in, I want to say 2013, maybe. And that was my very first one. And then a couple of years ago, I'm a Niners fan, and one of my best friends is a Broncos fan, and they only play each other, every 4 years. And we said, look, next time they play each other, let's go. And we kind of put it off and didn't know if we could afford it. And then with about, I think, 10 days to spare, we just said, let's just go do it. And so we kind of got some last-minute holiday in, and we went across over to San Francisco and Santa Clara, and went to Levi's and watched the Niners play the Broncos. A couple of years ago, I think it was one of the lowly four games that the Niners actually won that year. Yeah. And we just had an absolutely great time. And that was very much kind of what started the thing about me doing the world record. I went to that and thought, you know what, I want to do more of this. And that kind of spiraled crazily out of control to, I want to do all of this.
Yeah. I want to do more. Let's just go for all 31.
No mid-ground. Yeah, if I'm going to do it, let's do it properly.
So we talked off air about how many hats you've got and you're not sure how many to take, but what other stuff have you got planned to take with you jersey-wise, or have you got any big flags, one that says the Football Wanderer maybe that you should definitely hold up, get yourself on telly?
So I've got a Niners flag, which I bought that time for that in that game against the Broncos, actually. So that's definitely coming with me. I've got a couple of Niners jerseys. As we said beforehand, I'm very tempted to buy the new one that they'll be wearing with the Super Bowl patch. And if I do, it'll certainly be a George Kittle jersey, as he's my favourite player. Got some other kind of Niners t-shirts. My friend who's coming with me is that Broncos fan, but I said I'd bring him a Niners jersey because he certainly doesn't want the Chiefs to win. So I've got my Football Wanderer t-shirt, which I'll probably wear at some point, maybe down Radio Row as opposed to on the actual day. But I haven't got a Football Wanderer flag. I maybe need to get one. It's probably a bit late now.
Just the switch.
Should have brought this up a while ago. I've got lots of Niners stuff. Don't you worry. There'll be Niners everything.
Sick. And then have you got anything else planned for your trip while you're over there?
I've got a couple of things. Yeah, I mean, we arrive Thursday about 4 p.m.
And then I think at 7 p.m. is the Around the NFL live show, which I'm very excited to go to. I obviously missed the London one because I was out in the States at the time. And so we land with a couple hours to spare. We're going to drop the bags and then go straight to that. Friday, we're hopefully going to go down Radio Row and stuff. We're also going to go to the Super Bowl experience, which I've heard is good fun. And then on the Saturday, there's some stuff for Sky Sports with kind of the other people that were given tickets by NFL UK. And then there's just a load of people to meet, really. I'm meeting the guy that, I think I told the story last time, how the person who first set the record was in the stadium at the Falcons when I broke the record. Well, he's actually going to be at the Super Bowl. So I'm going to try and meet up with him. My co-host of my 49ers Brawl podcast, he actually lives in Florida, so we're going to try and meet up. So I've got about a million things to do in a couple of days, so some of it won't get done, but I'm trying to kind of plan it all, so we'll see.
Oh, well, best of luck with everything you can try and cram in, man.
Yeah, thank you.
So obviously, fantasy football podcast, how'd your fantasy season go this year?
I did okay. I was in two leagues. I was in the league, which I always do, which is essentially a league full of my uni American football teammates. So we've had that for, I think this is the sixth year we've had it. And the first 4 years, I made the final every year and I won two, lost two. The season after that was the first year I ever missed the playoffs. This year, I lost in the semifinals and I was very annoyed because you know how it is when you lead the league in scoring all year and then you just bottle it in the playoffs. That was me this year. And it was one of the few times, because I swear the person who leads the league in scoring never finishes first as well in the regular season because of this format. And this is the one time it did as well and I still managed to bottle it. So that wasn't great. And then the other league, I believe, was the listener league from you guys, which I did. And I think I lost in the first round of the playoffs in that one. I started off terribly. And then I think I won about five down the stretch right at the end to sneak into the playoffs and then bottled it again. So
that was as far as the sneak went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a bit of a pattern here with the bottle job.
I think that was the same one we snuck into. I mean, we didn't really deserve to be in and we got beat. We just didn't do a good job in that one. But
which one was that? What format was that?
1 point PPR.
Yeah, PPR.
That was the one with Pitsy's reviews.
Oh. Yes. Shout out, Pitsy.
Good league.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it as much as I could have because we could have won it. No, actually, that's not true. I probably enjoyed it as much as any, well, more than any of the others because Pitsy wrote reviews for it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time he gunned us.
Well, we deserved it.
I mean, you started off so poorly and then I don't know how you, it was like same as me, really. We both managed to turn it around somehow.
Waiver wires always give you a chance. We seem to just get good. We acquired well off the waiver wire. We picked up some good pieces, but the problem is it's not a sustainable strategy. For us, it sort of papered over the cracks a bit, got us a few wins, snuck us into the playoffs.
And then boom.
And then, we bombed out. But we got the one seed, so it wasn't a big shock. I was sort of doing the projections. I was looking at the teams that we had in the playoffs, and I pretty much wrote that one off on the Thursday. It was like, we're not going to advance here. That's fine.
So, Jacob, is your other league PPR as well?
It's not. It is standard.
Given that it's standard, which one format-wise do you prefer more?
I think I like the standard. I'm a standard guy. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because it was the first one I ever played and I've kind of always done it with that one. This is my first year trying PPR, actually. We've always kind of talked about doing it and then never ended up doing it, but I liked both, don't get me wrong, but
maybe you need to try half point then, sort of in the middle.
I've always liked the idea of half point, actually. I think it's a nice middle ground, so I'm going to suggest that for next season because I do like standard, but I did enjoy PPR, but I don't know what it is. It's something about standard.
If your league poo-poos the idea of a half point, then we'll throw you in one of our listener leagues.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, I definitely would do another listener league for sure. My issue is always that anytime I do multiple leagues, I end up just concentrating on one.
Do you only have two? Two leagues.
There's one too many.
Oh, I love it.
Absolute purist. I'm only playing one.
Yeah, that or I draft the exact same team almost with both of them. And then it's easy when I need to swap someone out because I know I need to swap them out in both teams.
I was going to ask you about Dynasty, but I think I already know the answer to that.
No, I've never tried. I've always kind of wanted to be fair, but
I think
every year in my league, there's I would say 2 to 3 people drop out and we've replaced them. So
you sound like you're teetering on the edge of fantasy football abyss and you want to dip that toe in, but you're too scared. Yeah.
If you want a Dynasty, there is a spot in a league, brand new league, not an orphan team that we have set up. There is a spot with your name on it if you want it.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I might take you up on that.
Nice.
I like the idea of it being a new league.
It's new with just...
There is absolutely no sharks in it whatsoever.
No. It's just basically people who listen to this podcast. So it's just basically elite fans of the podcast.
Yeah.
That is, seriously, that's what it is. It's elite fans of the podcast, people who have supported us through writing or financial donations or just coming on and being guests or whatever. Nice. It's just basically people like that. So it's just really cool. All UK-based as well. So
okay. Very good. I like that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget. Nice. That, you can message me it.
I will. I'll send you the link.
Through the medium of modern technology.
And then paper. What year is this?
Okay, Jacob, let's talk some 49ers. That's why you're here.
Yes.
So for those who haven't watched the 49ers that closely this season, what have been some of the things they maybe missed?
Ooh, a stout run game. A team that has the ability to control the clock when they need to. But for me, the best part about this Niners team has been the versatility. You know, it's a team where if they are able to stop the run, as a few teams have done, you know, the Cardinals did it. The Saints, I suppose, didn't particularly stop the run, but the Niners were in a position where they needed to pass to keep up with them. It's a team where they've been able to do that, and they've been able to do a bit of everything, and it's been a much improved defense as well. I mean, I think they said 55 sacks across regular and postseason. That's every team that's had 55 plus across those have always won the Super Bowl. So I think they're 14-0 or something like that. So there's been a great pass rush, a much improved defensive backfield, thankfully, because that was certainly the weak point I felt last season. And just great coaching, great play calling. The ability for players to get injured. I think the Niners have sent 18 players now to IR. And when players were dropping out, there was people stepping up. You know, Joe Staley missed a couple of weeks. Mike McGlinchey missed a couple of weeks. There was a point where the Niners didn't have either starting tackles, Carl Juszczyk, they're missing Dee Ford, Quan Alexander, and people were able to step up. And for me, that says a lot about the coaching, I think.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'll be honest. I watched the 49ers week one against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Jameis gifted you a dub. Not with one pick six, but with two. Yeah, it was painful to
He started as he meant to go on, didn't he?
Well, you say that. He only threw 5 more in the other 15 games. So.
It's an NFL record still.
You guys helped out. But I remember watching that game, and I watched it, and I was like, there is something different about this team this year. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, because I think you'll be fair to say that the 49ers didn't play well in that game. They didn't play bad.
No, that game kind of worried me. I know they got the win, but... Yeah, I agree. It felt like they were kind of given the win. Yeah.
Yeah, because the run game wasn't happening, and we started to see the start of that Tampa D. But Jimmy G, the one thing that impressed me in that game was Jimmy G, because that was when I knew that, do I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback? It's too early to say, even though he is 27. But the one thing I liked about Jimmy G in that game is he never lost his cool. He just kept putting the ball in spots, kept the chains moving. And okay, it didn't, you know, George Kittle had a couple of TDs chalked off in that game for penalties. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that game, I started to think, this team isn't the 4-win team of 2018. There's something different about them. And then as they started to chalk up wins, I still remember the 49ers being 4-0 and still being talked about, well, yeah, but they haven't really played anyone yet. Mm. you know, it's still only Jimmy G. And everyone kind of was like expecting the 49ers to implode. Then they got to 5-0.
Even at 8-0, there were still those questions, really.
Yeah, there really was. And I think it's amazing because the media have kind of painted this Super Bowl as this is the one we always wanted. And I was thinking, like,
no. Yeah.
I distinctly remember at the bye week that no one was really talking about the 49ers as a contender. And I think that goes to show that that to me is coaching, because you can put the flashy plays with the flashy players, and the Chiefs, I think, are a great example of that. Listen, the Chiefs are a great football team. You've got the MVP in the league. You've got splashy players who make big plays. Whereas with the 49ers, it just seemed to me that everybody stepped up. There wasn't a weak link in the chain. Every time there was 11 men on the field, they all did their job.
There's consistency. Yeah, that's what I've thought that about this team. And I think the Chiefs are kind of not the opposite, but they're a bit more kind of star driven. Whereas I think there's less of a drop off between, you know, the number one and the number two and the number three on the Niners. And that's probably shown up where, well, I can't think of a game this season where the Niners just weren't in that game. And I don't think there's another team really in the league that's had that. Even, you know, the Ravens looked incredible. They still had that week three or four game against Cleveland where they just weren't in it. Every single game's been close. They've either blown the other team out or they've been in a close loss. And so I think consistency is just a huge part of this team.
I thought the Chiefs were similar, no?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm trying to think. I can't remember who their losses were, to be fair.
I mean, they lost a couple when Patrick Mahomes went down, but I don't remember.
Yes, I suppose that's a bit different, isn't it? Yeah, when they've not got a...
I'm just looking at their losses. They lost by three to the Titans, a touchdown to the Packers.
Yeah.
Touchdown to the Texans and six. Yeah. So they were only one score.
Yeah, losses. They're in close games. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give them that for sure. Yeah.
That's why they're in the Super Bowl.
Two very consistent teams.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens.
Consistency is obviously key then.
Basically, if you lose, don't lose by a lot. I think there's something in that, because I think if you lose a game, like you get blown out in a game where you lose by 20, I think that does cause you to question what's going on. Yeah, lose a game if it's a... You know, sometimes you can lose a game purely on possession.
Yeah, or if you lose by a late last-minute field goal and you've lost by three, that could have gone the other way. You head back to the locker room and be like, yeah, we've lost, but we were in it till the death. And
there's always one or two calls, isn't there, where you could go off, we got that call, we would have won.
Whereas I think when you lose by 20, the inquest starts. People start to look in the room and go, well, you didn't do your job today. And you didn't do your job today. And then all of a sudden it starts to raise the temperatures. I mean, the Jags are notoriously good at that. Like, they'll lose a couple of games and then the whole locker room just implodes. So, I mean, we saw it when they were in London. They went and spent 40 grand on a bar bill. And then the whole, like, that's all they're disquiet. When they win, winning's easy in the sense of when you win, everyone's happy and everyone's, you know, smiling around. I think I go back to our Christmas episode where I was talking about the 49ers, because I said that they would make the Super Bowl. And I said the reason why is because they were battle-tested. Because you had that stretch around week 10, week 11, week 12, or was it 9, 10, 11, where you played three teams in a row
10, 11,
with
12,
over an 800 record.
Yeah.
And you won two, lost one on the final possession of the game.
Yes, yeah.
And you don't get through that kind of stretch unless you're a very good football team. And I think that was when I was like, they've played the best in the league. They've played the best teams in the league. They've played the Ravens. You know, they've played
the Saints
and the Packers. So they've played the best in the league.
And the Hawks twice, don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'd have taken one and two out of those three games going into it. I remember thinking, if we come out of this with one win out of those and at least a close losses in the other two, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
So to come out of that 2-1 and that loss to basically be, the Ravens, I mean, they just controlled time of possession for the final 5 minutes and kicked a field goal to win it. It's hard to be too upset with that.
No, exactly that. And I think that's what's key. And I think that was when I kind of knew that the 49ers were for real. Like, you'd seen progress through the season. I was like, no, this is an outstanding football team. I guess the big question for Sunday, and something for me that I'm really keen to understand with the 49ers is what happens if they take the run game away. Yeah. So if the Chiefs replicate what they did in the AFC title game and they reduce the Titans to under 100 yards rushing, how are the 49ers going to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it a couple of times that where they have had to throw the ball, and when they've had to do it, they have been able to do it. The only game that really worried me was the Seahawks loss, when I think they registered like 12 drops or something like that, and they still had the chance to win it. I think when I was looking at it, the Chiefs and the Niners have the same yards per attempt in terms of passing plays. So it's very much built as kind of run game versus pass game and offense versus defense. But I think it kind of takes a little bit away from the Niners, really, in the fact that they've passed the ball. I mean, I'm not trying to say Jimmy G is Patrick Mahomes. He's not. No. But they don't need him to be, really, the way the game is set up. But in terms of offense, they've outscored the Chiefs on the season, and they've had the same kind of yards per attempt, which is normally kind of the main key stat when they're looking at a passing attack. But I know a lot of that is set up from the play action. So yeah, it'd be interesting if they just go, right, let's put it in Jimmy G's hands. I mean, we've seen it that Saints game. Kyle Shanahan was almost doing, you know, he's driving me crazy, because at one point they were 2 points up and he just kept throwing every play. And I was a little bit worried he didn't know what the score was and he was trying to chase it. Because at one point he was throwing a pass and then the guy ran out of bounds. I was like, what is going on? So we'll see. I mean, you know, the thing with Kyle as well is when something's working, he just sticks with it. And they saw that almost to his detriment in the Super Bowl a few years ago, where he just stuck with his aggressive offense, and there was that crucial sack, and that was kind of the beginning of the end for the Falcons. But it would be interesting to see this time, you know, if they get in that position and they do just start throwing the ball and it's working, how cautious does he go, or does he just stay aggressive?
I mean, I've got 2 points on that. The first one being, people see the Chiefs as this all high superpower scoring offense, and doesn't, you know, we'll give you a whole quarter and 25 points and then we'll turn it up on you and stuff. But like you mentioned, the 49ers have scored more than the Chiefs in the season, but they've gone about their business in a very business-like way, scoring points-wise. And you think, it doesn't come to mind when you think of San Francisco. It doesn't to me. I don't think of them as putting up huge numbers on people, but they've obviously, well, going by the stats, got the ability to do so. And then the Chiefs did take Derrick Henry and the Titans' run game out of the game in their matchup, but their run game was Derrick Henry. It's slightly different to the Niners in the fact they have so many running backs. You know, if Derrick Henry's on the field, there's a good chance they're going to run it, because he doesn't really get many receptions. Whereas if you've got one or two backs in the game as a Niners offense, they might not even run it. But the fact they've got two of them there, if they do run it, who's going to have it? If there's a bit of play action, there's a lot more moving parts to the Shanahan offense than the Tennessee Titans. And I think that will be slightly more in their favor when it comes to running the ball against the worst run defense in the league.
On the 49ers offense, they only failed to score 20 points in two games all season. So one was against the Ravens. Terrible. And that incredible defense. And then the other one was
the rainstorm,
the monsoon bowl against the Redskins at FedEx, which was a 9-0 game. Where everybody was just like, let's just get out of here.
And the weather wasn't too good in that Ravens game either. It was pretty bad weather as well. So let's hope for sunshine.
Both on the road. I mean, the lowest, I'm just looking now, and the lowest points I saw at home was 20 against the Rams, 24 against the Steelers, 24 against Seattle, which was a loss in overtime. You got 37.
The Rams one was on the road as well, I think. At home, it was 34-31.
So you only had the Falcons, where you lost 29-22.
That was an awful game, yeah.
So you only had a couple of games from home where you weren't scoring 30 points. So it's impressive, like, what they have done this year on offense, and, you know, fourth in points overall. you know, it's a solid, yeah, it's a solid team, and you know that's why they made the Super Bowl, right? So, but I'm not liking this narrative of it's. I mean, I've used it a bit myself, offense versus defense. I think it's the Chiefs' defense is better than people are giving credit, and the 49ers' offense, as we've just discussed, is certainly better than people are giving credit for. I just think these are two good all round football teams. Where yes, okay, one team has an advantage and the other one over the other one, but I wouldn't say this is like classic offense versus classic defense.
No, yeah, I would agree.
So seeing as it is the middle of the week, Super Bowl week coming up, let's talk some Super Bowl stuff, and we want to get you involved, Jacob. So what do the 49ers need to do to give them the advantage in Super Bowl?
It's crucial. I mean, it feels like it's obvious to say, you know, third down in every game, but what the Niners do best for me is their opposition third down conversion. They're very good on third down. The tough thing this week is that the Chiefs don't let it get to third down very often. I think they only have 11 third downs a game, which puts them 31st in the league because they're so good at converting on first and second. And I think if they can kind of force the Chiefs, and it seems weird to say force the Chiefs into just throwing because that's what they want to do anyway. But when you look at their first down breakdown, the Chiefs are 50-50 run pass split. And so it's very different to when they played the Vikings, where the Vikings were about 80-20 split on their run pass on a first down. So I think if they can force them into the pass, and it's something the Niners have done so well, I mean, I think they're best in the league on their opponent's yards per attempt through the air, and kind of force them into that situation where they're constantly passing. It also gives the pass rusher a chance to get after Mahomes, and he's not an easy guy to bring down. He's certainly very mobile, and we've had our trouble with the mobile quarterbacks this year, but if they can get after him, send him four. The Niners don't blitz a lot. They like to send four because the four they send are so good. Then if they can be disciplined like they were last week against Rodgers, they didn't let him escape the pocket very often. They weren't getting too aggressive and rushing too far upfield and then getting caught on screens. If they can play disciplined like they did last week and get after Mahomes, then it's hopefully won't give the speedsters so much time to beat the Niners over the top, because the speed is what really worries me. You've got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson. They've all got in tremendous speed, and that's really what worries me. So if you can not let plays go 4+ seconds, then I think they've got a really good chance to shut down. You're not going to stop the pass game, but you can certainly slow it down.
Yeah, the only trouble with the middle of the field once the speedsters do go over the top is you've got Travis Kelce performing.
They certainly do, but I feel good about, I don't know why I don't feel like anyone should ever feel good about Travis Kelce unless you play for the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Niners linebackers, I mean, they're such good coverage linebackers. The Niners have given up the fewest yards to tight ends this season. And the Chiefs, on the other hand, you know, that's kind of been their weakness. So I'm hoping George Kittle can take advantage. But I think when I looked as well, I think all three Niners linebackers were in the top 15 coverage grades as well on PFF. And they've now got all three of them back. You know, Quan Alexander missed some time with a torn pec, and he's come back this postseason. So with all three, hopefully they can keep him quiet, but he's certainly a beast. He might be one of those matchup proof guys.
Well, that's me well and truly shut down. So at the start of the playoffs, when you were dreaming, obviously, about the Super Bowl, who was the one team in the AFC that you feared to get and why?
Baltimore. Baltimore worried me because the teams that worried me, the teams that had done particularly well against us, were teams with scrambling quarterbacks. Because there were so many times where it got to third down and the quarterback would just take it and run, and we weren't particularly good at recognising that quickly enough. And so you had the part where they'd beaten us before, which didn't worry me too much because we mentioned it earlier. It was a close game. It came down to, you know, a time of possession thing where they controlled the clock and then kicked the winning field goal. But I mean, going into the playoffs, they just looked like they were a different class to everybody else, really. And Lamar Jackson's ability to move with his legs was just basically what worried me the most. Same on the NFC side. I mean, they're not the best team in the NFC, but Seattle were a team that really worried me because Russell Wilson seems to be able to do his thing against the Niners, doing a similar thing, really.
Yeah, I had the Ravens playing the Niners in the Super Bowl.
I think a lot of people did, didn't they?
Yeah, I just think what the Ravens did in the season, I didn't see them bowing out how they did in the playoffs. That was
unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely madness. So, Jacob, let's pretend the shoe was on the other foot and you were a Chiefs fan. What weaknesses in the 49ers do you see that the Chiefs could possibly exploit?
For me, the biggest weaknesses for the Niners is kind of similar to the Chiefs in their run defense. We've had such a good pass defense. The run defense hasn't been particularly good, but it's kind of been hidden a little bit because the Niners have been ahead in so many games that teams have had to go away from the run game and they've been forced to go play into the Niners' hands almost. So if the Chiefs can get ahead and they can start to run the ball, that's certainly kind of a weaker part from the 49ers. They were obviously missing Quan Alexander, as I just mentioned, and him coming back does help that. But the run defense for me, and the other part is red zone defense. I think I can't remember where they rank, but it's certainly in the bottom 5 to 10 in red zone defense. If you can get to the red zone against the 49ers, a lot of teams are able to turn that into 6. And whether that's also because the run game is kind of more prevalent as well once you get down there, and that's their weakness, I'm not too sure. But if they can get down to the red zone, then they're certainly a team that can give you 6 points. So run D and red zone defense, they're the two things I'd be looking to try and get advantage on.
Nice. And then special teams, which team do you think has the edge when it comes to special teams play?
This is a tough one. It's a really tough one. They've got two very good punters who don't have to punt all that often. To be fair, I think they have the second and third least amount of punts this season, but they control the ball so well when they do have to punt. I believe between the two punters, Colquitt and Wisnowski, they've only allowed 5 touchbacks all season between them. So when they do punt, a lot of the time you're calling a fair catch inside your own 20, etc. And so it probably comes down for me to the return game. I think both kickers are very good. Gold's not had his best season, and I think Buck has had a very good season, so they've maybe got the edge there, but the return game has probably got to go to the Chiefs. I think Mecole Hardman is an absolute weapon with the ball in his hands. We've seen that this postseason. And sometimes, you know, for a punt, they might stick Tyreek Hill back there, and that's someone I never want to see with the ball in his hands. So I think they've probably got the edge there over Richie James on the Niners.
Yeah, I think the special teams way it's going to line up is fascinating, because I think actually for me, that's where the battle I think could be won or lost. The one thing that the 49ers have done really well this year is get really good starting position and restrict their opponent's starting position. Yes. So when you look at it, the 49ers are starting from their own 32 on average. And, you know, they're making their opponents start from their own 26, which, okay, yeah, it sounds like, okay, it's 6 yards, but actually,
it's a lot.
That's 6 yards every drive.
Yeah.
So if you think that each team has eight, nine drives a game, you know, you're talking about over 50 yards, and then you pile that up over the season. It's a huge advantage over time. And
also, it could be 3 plays for the offense to play against the defense.
Yeah. And then that's how you control the time of possession. But the big difference for me is they have many options on the return. But, you know, James himself, he's had a couple of good runs this year. He's broken away. I think you're right. You edge it to the 49ers. But I think if the 49ers can keep that control of the possession and just put the ball deep. In fact, don't even allow the returns. When there's a kickoff.
Yeah, get out of bounds.
Just get out of bounds. Just let them have it from 25 every time. Don't give Hardman the opportunity to get into the game.
Yeah.
And then it's just punting. That's the only area that I think. And what I would do is just sky it as high as you can. You might give a few off, but make them fair catch it.
Yeah. Or again, kick it out of bounds.
Yeah. If you can do that.
Give them another 10 yards. But yeah, I don't.
You've got to be a bit careful with that. I think, you know, too many times in games, you'll see punters try and go
for
the, you know, get it inside the 10.
Goes about 12 yards.
And then let it roll. And then actually, yeah, they don't get the trajectory on it. It returns and they get it right. So I think stick it up in the air. You might lose 5-10 yards, but, you know, put him, rather than go for the 10, if you put them inside the 20, that's a good result.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, of course. But, you know, I would just stick it up in the air. Don't allow them to just take the return game out of the game. And I think if the 49ers can do that, you know that they can make stops, they can make plays. Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over that much, but at the same point, you can fluster him if you give him, you don't give him his reads, you make things a little bit more difficult for him. If he ends up playing amazingly, then you have to just dock your cap and say he's an MVP. It happens, but you have to give yourself the fundamentals a chance to win. And I think that's the area that the 49ers, for me, have to try and bridge that gap a little bit. And I think it's a very fascinating and important part of the game.
100%. Right, let's do some predictions. I'm going for the 49ers winning 27-3 at halftime and the Chiefs coming back to win by 6. Why am I changing?
Okay.
There was a joke. I was a terrible halftime joke. I'm sorry, everybody. Jacob, come on then. Your prediction.
I'm going to go Niners 34, Chiefs 31.
Ooh.
Nice little Robbie Gould field goal to finish it off.
Oh, imagine that. 31 all with a walk-off field goal. So we're going to do ours later in the week.
Yeah. I do have one more. Okay. I have one more question before you're going to ask the final question, which is, who do you think will be the Super Bowl MVP if that's the scoreline?
That scoreline.
So no, if James predicted that, so who does he think the MVP is going to be?
It's a very good question.
I know who mine is.
I really like the thought of George Kittle, and it's the first time I was thinking earlier. This it's very rare that something like blocking would ever come into the conversation of who should be a Super Bowl MVP. But I could certainly see it being a really balanced game in terms of pass and rush. And if he can catch, you know, he can get a couple of touchdowns. And then normally, if that's the case, right, it goes to the quarterback, it goes to Jimmy. But if they can also rush in a couple, I think it could be the first time where you just look at it and you go, right, there's only one player on this team that has contributed heavily to both facets of the game, the run and the pass. And there's so much talk about Kittle's blocking that I think it finally has the narrative where it could contribute to it, and that could be the thing that swings it for him.
Well, no tight end has ever won the Super Bowl MVP.
I know. Just going to say that. Wait, damn it.
They used that on the Lombardi Live podcast that just came out this week.
I've been told it so many times this week. I'm like, it's always a first time.
I told it to Will Gavin when we were on that section of the Lombardi Live.
If a tight end's ever going to do it, this is the game where they've got two of the best chances, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Jacob. We know you've got lots of packing to do because it's only 2 days. Well, a day. It's a day away.
Yeah.
Coming, the final question. What will you do if the 49ers manage to lift the Lombardi?
I wish I knew what would happen if it does. You might find me somewhere down Miami Beach with not many clothes on the beach running around probably. But who even knows? It's going to be a non-stop party, I imagine. So we can only dream. We can only hope. They've certainly got a good chance. But like you say, if Mahomes just plays unbelievable and you lose to him, if there's anyone I'd want to lose to, it's someone playing that well like that. He's a great player. And
that's what I said to you, isn't it, Murphy? I really want to see Mahomes win it. Because I think he's so... I don't mind who wins it. Because I think both teams have got a really good... It's not as if somebody's playing the Patriots and you always want the person playing the Patriots to win it, regardless of who it is. You know, fantasy-wise, I've got players on both teams. I think both teams offer something different to the game. And I said to Murph, I really want Mahomes to win it. And then I thought, and Murph said, there's always time. He could win.
I'd like him to win one, just not this year.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
I think that's fair. That's a fair comment.
Yeah. Right, Jacob, why don't you let Rush Nation know where they can find you on the interweb and all about your podcast?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JBBFootball. I'll certainly be posting loads of stuff from my trip to Miami and to the Super Bowl, so should hopefully get some very interesting stuff on there. If you are a 49ers fan and want to follow the 49ers Brawl podcast, you can follow that on Twitter at 49ers Brawl. We've got a Super Bowl preview that went out yesterday, yep. And we're hoping to get another shorter last minute kind of preview once I'm out there, hopefully kind of live in person. So if you want to check that out, then feel free to check that out on Twitter as well. You can find it on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, all the usual places. So yeah, that's me.
Perfect. Well, Jacob, I've got my Niners hat on for you today.
Yeah.
We're giving you the hat-trick ball for coming on. Third time lucky. I just said I want my homes to win it, but like you said, I want him to win one, but maybe not this time, maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe next year, unless the Niners go back-to-back.
Yeah, but this is a vicious circle. It's never ending. But no, buddy, appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy yourself out there in Miami.
Yeah, take lots of pictures. Tell the around the NFL guys hello, and you know, make sure that they come back this year. And yeah, enjoy your chat with Will Gavin, because you're going to see him, aren't you?
Yeah, should do.
Yeah, my twin. Really? Me and Will Gavin look very similar.
I don't know
what now. I think was. About it.
Yeah, it's quite fun. Yeah, I won't go into that now. But yeah. we look very similar. Basically, I did once upon a time was in Waterloo Station, and someone said, "Are you Will Gavin?" And I was like, "No, but I do know who you're talking about." But no, that's not me.
Fair. Right, Jacob, this has been an absolute pleasure, and we will have you back on in the off season, no doubt.
We've got more stories to talk about your trip.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the time, and appreciate thanks, you keep having me on.
Oh, mate, anytime you're more than welcome within these hallowed walls. Murph, I'll catch you later in the week. But Rush Nation, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforumc.org.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.